part two of last week.
All right.
So that's why we still in the 21st chapter of Genesis. And for your consideration this morning, I'll read verses 6 through 11. Sarah said, God have made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah would have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was waned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was waned. Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be the heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. The base of those verses, we like to use a thought or a subject in part two. Last week we talked about when God gets the last laugh. And Sarah began to realize that I don't want you laughing at me, but laugh with me in the joy of the Lord that in my old age God has blessed me to conceive and to give my husband a son. But on the basis of the verses that we have this morning, we like to talk from the thought there's a difference between a wife and a mother. There's a difference between a wife and a mother. We don't know who it is that's catching it the worst, but we do know that all of us go through some things. But we know this morning that we serve a God, that we're here and answer prayer. There's one thing about God that it seems that those times when the walls are closing in on us and you seem stressed out and perplexed and you just don't know exactly what to do next. Sometimes we ask, is it worth it all? All the things that we are going through. And sometimes when you're doing the best that you know how to do and you find that it's seeming like you're not really getting anywhere, you got to understand that you may not make a lot of ground, but all you got to do is just stay in the press. So many times we want to get a lot of things accomplished, but we got to wait until our season. We got to wait until God says that it's time. And sometimes you may not understand where God is coming from because you got your own mindset. You want God to be a right now God for you. You want God to shelter you and to keep you from all hurt, harm, or danger. We all want that. But there are times in our life that things are just going to happen. And when we get discouraged, we find that we want to just quit and shut down. And we sort of close ourselves off. I wonder sometimes, because a lot of times when things begin to happen in our life, we will say that, well, I would come, but I'm having a lot of trouble right now. I would come, but I'm sick in my body right now. But why are you staying away from God at the most crucial moments in your life? You got to watch the trick of the enemy where he would try to make you think, well, now that you're sick, you just don't feel like going this morning, so just stay on home. Now that you got certain situations in your life, maybe you're ashamed about something that you've done, but all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We got to learn how to get back up and ask the Lord for forgiveness and try our best to stay in the press. But that's what it's all about, is just hanging in there until you know that it is your time. How many of you believe that you do have a season that is for you? And we hear that what God has for me is for me. I got to believe that it's for me. I got to believe that nobody, nothing is going to hinder me from getting what God has in store for me. I've also found that it is good to stay busy and involved in something to keep our minds occupied. Be in the company of people and sometimes even to have the babies around, it's a good thing because it gets your mind off of a whole lot of other things. You ever realize sometimes if you got too much time to think, that you can think yourself into depression, you can think yourself into sadness? You got to learn how to, when you start thinking and you're going in the wrong direction, you got to find something to occupy your mind. Or you got to sort of switch some things, make a detour, do something a little bit different. Don't stay on that page when you know that page is taking you where you don't want to be. You got to back off of it. Because sometimes you are not ready for what you're getting ready to go through. But if you pray to the Lord your God and ask God, Lord, I need you to help me right now because I feel this anxiety coming on. I feel the enemy trying to push me in the wrong direction. But I tell the devil he is a lie this morning. I'm going to stand on the promise of God. I'm going to believe that no weapon formed against me will be able to prosper. I'm going to believe that if I keep my mind stayed on Jesus, if I just continue to talk to the Lord, that God will work my problems out. Anybody know God as a problem solver? And sometimes your problem may not be so bad, but it is a problem. And it might be a problem to you, but not a problem to somebody else. So don't worry about what they say about it. All you got to do is trust what you believe God has to say about it. We got to learn how to sometimes just break away from the realities of life that you can sort of learn how to approach them more gradually. Sometimes you want to just jump on in the bandwagon, but every now and again, you need to ease up on it. You don't never know what is going to happen in a given situation. One moment, one thing can be one way. In less than 10 minutes, anything can happen. Tragedy, death, and sometimes you, if you are not a believer, if you don't have your mind in the right place, whatever it is that happened can devastate you to the point to where you give up on life. You give up on family, you give up on friends, you turn your back on society, and you begin to think that nobody cares about me. Why is everybody against me? Why is it that every time I get it in my mind that I'm going to do better and I'm trying to do better, but as soon as I step out the door, that enemy has already set a trap for me. And a lot of times I'm not strong enough to recognize the trap, so I fall right in. But you got to learn how to get back up out that mess and know that God will wash you off again and God will cleanse you. And God is a forgiving God. Anybody glad he's a forgiving God? Hallelujah, Jesus. Sometimes we think too much on the hard things of life, our problems and our finances and our sickness, our grief, hate, and envy. But we need to learn how to turn those things around and relax our mind. We need to be where God can get through to us. And a lot of times he can't get through because we got so much mess in our heads. You got to let some of the mess go. You got to have an avenue to let God come in, because once God comes in, if you let him get in here, you don't have anything to worry about. Because once he really get in there, can't nobody take him out. Can't nobody tell you that God does not love you. Can't nobody tell you that God will not forgive you. Can't nobody tell you that God is not there on your side. Every time the devil tell you don't nobody care, the Bible declared that God does care for all of us. So you got to trust the word of God. You got to stop having a naysayer spirit. You got to stop saying negative things and learn how to speak positive things into your life. Speak positive things over your children's life. If you look at your children, you see that the devil got a hold on them, that there come a time you might chastise them, but beating don't do no good sometimes. You got to put them children in the hand of the Lord and keep on praying that God is going to touch that situation. God going to bring them where you want them to be. And all you got to do is just sit back and wait. And then while you're sitting back and waiting, don't sit back all idle. You ought to sit back with a praise on your lips. You ought to sit back with glory in your heart that I done put you in the hands of a mighty God. How many of you ever heard somebody say, I put you in the hands of the Lord and I let it go? And if you ever put something or somebody in the hands of God and you really let it go, you will find some peace. You'll be able to go to sleep at night. You'll be able to look at one another in the face and not sort of look cross-eyed at one another. You know how it is when you're not real with somebody, you can't look them dead in the eye. Don't even have to know them. We serve a God that can do the impossible. We found out, and I said on many times, and I've been saying it all week long, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. If you can't do anything else, you ought to be able to depend on God. in the midst of life's daily ups and downs, I can say this morning beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has been good to me. Anybody in here glad that you still got your joy? Anybody glad that you got a mind that every now and again you just want to give God praise just because? How many of you know that you can be broke and still give God a hallelujah praise? How many of you know that you don't have to have the luxuries of the world to know that you are rich in the power of a mighty God? Last week we talked about God getting the last laugh on Sarah. So I wonder, did any of you take time out this past week to laugh? You know, we preach and we teach and we hope and pray that it will sink in and you just don't let it die at the benediction, but you take it outside the door and a situation may have happened in your life this week that you should have just laughed about it. Devil thought he had you all upset, but you just broke out and started laughing. Got the devil all messed up. He don't know how to mess with you now, because anytime he sees that he can't get to you, then he'll leave you alone. But as long as he's pushing your buttons and making you do this, that, and the other, he's just as happy as a log. But as soon as he try to get you to step out of God's will and you say, oh, devil, you a lie. I know that trick. Anybody can say been there, done that? Hallelujah, Jesus. I thank God that I am able every now and again just to laugh. I'm glad that I get an opportunity sometime to see God's word come to pass. For I made a statement last Sunday in the midst of that message that sometimes when you're standing with a group of people and you begin to laugh, there's somebody watching you. And just the other night, we were standing there in the rehearsal and me and a couple of guys were just talking and we were just laughing. And one of them came over there, what y'all talking about? What y'all laughing at? I said, didn't I tell you Sunday morning? All you got to do is start laughing and somebody going to think you talking about them. Somebody going to think you're laughing at them. You are not that special. As we talked on last week, enjoying the joy and the blessings of Jesus, Sarah said, God have made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. Sarah said, now, here I am, a 90-year-old woman married to a 100-year-old man, and God has blessed us to have a baby boy. Sarah, so who would have ever thought that that could have happened to me? Now, they named this child Isaac. And Sarah was saying, basically, don't laugh at me, laugh with me. For we've been blessed with a bundle of joy. And this bundle of joy, by obedience, the Bible said that Abraham, on the eighth day, circumcised this baby boy. And the Bible tells us that the child grew being loved by his father and by his mother. Now, remember that even though this is Sarah's first time being a mother, Abraham already knew what it was like to be a father. Abraham had a son by a slave named Hagar, and the name of that son was Ishmael. Now, he grew up, and no doubt, right there in the house with a loving father and with the love of two mothers, because at that particular time, before Sarah was able to conceive, she appreciated the fact that her husband got an offspring. But now, if you go back a couple of chapters, you'll find out that it doesn't take long. You ever heard somebody say, you can't have two hens in the same house? Because one going to get mad at the other. You can bring both of them roses, but there's going to be something about her roses that look a little bit better than her roses. How much money did you spend on them roses? Sarah allowed Abraham to be with Hagar. Allowed him to go through the motions and to make a baby. The baby is now Abraham's son, and Abraham loves his son. He has communion with his son. He communicates with his son day by day, and they just have a love and a bond. But now, look at Sarah now. Sarah didn't realize that now that they've had this child, they got a bond. You see, that was a fleshly situation. And it wasn't really blessed by God, but God allowed it to happen because God knows everything that's going on in our lives. So now here we see Sarah that has been a loving wife, had to be faithful because she was married to Abraham, and Abraham had taught her all about the laws of God, and Abraham had talked with her and shared with her that God is a good God and God has made me some promises. And God, you know, as Abraham shared with Sarah, I believe Sarah began to get a little disheartened because Abraham was saying that God said that I'm going to be a father of many nations and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But Sarah is looking around. I was not able to give you a child. But because I love you so much, I'll allow you to have a child so that you will have an heir with this woman. But now that everything has changed, the switches has flipped, and now Sarah is jealous of Hagar. Now, once jealousy steps in, you know how it is. You don't treat folk like you used to treat them. I believe that there might have been a time when Sarah and Hagar had some good conversations and talked about Abraham, but now they can't talk about Abraham no more. Sarah ain't got nothing to say to Hagar, but get out my face. Stop looking at my husband like that. Baby's already here. We not making no more babies now. Anybody hear me? You know how y'all act. I'm trying to get you to understand that there is a difference between a wife and a mother. When Sarah was Abraham, just his wife, she was submissive, she was loving, she was willing to do whatever she needed to do to make her man happy. But now that God has blessed her to be a mother, we see now the Bible says, Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking, meaning that this other son is picking at the younger son. Now, one thing about a hen, they protective of their babies. Many of you know that it was all right before a baby came into the picture. You were the apple of her eye. You were all of that. But as soon as she had that first baby, things began to change. She was your wife, but now she's a mother, so I'm caring more about my baby than I am you, because my baby needs me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So here Sarah is. Sarah was a good wife. Undoubtedly, she's going to be a good mother. Look at what the Bible says. Sarah realized that it's time for me to put my foot down. Too much mess going on in my house, and you're not going to be no heir with my son. You're going to have to get up out of here. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman, meaning a slave, shall not be heir with my son, not with Isaac. They got to go. Think about it. Here Abraham loves his son, loves his wife. By now, he ought to be loving Hagar if she's been around 15 years. So here we have a situation that is all messed up. Sarah said, I'm gonna fix this mess. Nobody gonna run this house. I'm the woman of this house. And Abraham, I got news for you today. Your woman and your baby boy got to go. Bible said the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because he loved his son so much. What do you think? You love your son, and now you gotta put him out. No questions asked. No debate, no argument. She got to go. Just that simple. Now, the thing that you have to understand Never take God's word out of context. Because before you begin to think that Abraham was a weak back man, that just because the woman said get out, he was going to put him out. It wasn't so much that, but Abraham was a God-fearing man. And Abraham realized that I don't care what kind of anxieties and trouble I'm going through, I got to do what the Lord tell me to do. The Bible says, God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, because of thy bondwoman, in that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. In other words, listen to your wife. For in Isaac thy seed shall be. Isaac is the child of blessings. But also let me share with you that the son of the bondwoman, I will make a nation because he is thy seed. So Abraham, I love you so much that I'm not going to allow one of your sons to be blessed and not bless the other son. I just got to let you know that there is a vast difference because one is out of bondage and one is from the freedom. One is a promise from the power of Almighty God. So that's the one that I got to make sure that everything is all right. But don't worry about it. Put them out and let them go. I'm going to make everything all right. Think about Abraham now. Bible says Abraham rose up early in the morning, took some bread and a bottle of water. I thought that was a little messed up right there now. Could have gave him some meat. You know, I like to eat. How many of you got some kids at your feet? 15-year-old boy, what are you going to do with some bread and water? That's all they got. That's what the Bible says. So he got up early, took some bread, bottle of water, gave it to Hagar, put it on his shoulder, put a child on, sent them away, and they departed. The Bible said they wandered in a place called Beersheba. The water was all gone. Now, you know, it don't take long when you're wandering around. You're out there in the hot desert sun. Don't take long for you to get a little thirsty. You've been used to eating 3 meals a day. Don't take long for your stomach to start growling. I believe that bread didn't last very long. They realized that I don't have everything that I need to have. But I found out that this woman of God, this woman still loved her child. She looked at the child and realized that my child don't have any more bread. I don't have any more water. And my child began to get a little weak. The Bible said that the child got so weak that she had to lay him down by a shrub. And he laid there by the shrub. She said, I don't want to be too close to the child. Because if I be too close, I don't want to see my child die. I realized that I don't have nothing to give my child. So the Bible said, Hagar began to cry and weep and pray and holler out to the Lord. But I believe that you ought to know that God always knows where your circumstance is. God always knows exactly what's going on in your life. So I see him talking to Hagar now. He said, I want to know why are you so troubled? Why are you going carrying on like you're carrying on? I know you're worried about your child, but I heard the voice of the lad. See, that's what I want you to understand right now. That it wasn't because she was crying, it wasn't because she was praying, but it was because God heard the lad. He said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless that child. I'm going to make everything come out all right. If you read the Bible, it says that Hagar closed her eyes. And when she opened up her eyes, she saw a spring of water. And she saw that water and realized that the God that I serve, he sits high and he looked down low. When he saw the spring of water, Hagar went and got a bottle of the water. She went and gave him a little of the water, and she told him that everything gonna be all right. I thought that you were getting ready to die, but I thank God that I serve a mighty God. That when you don't have very much, All you have to do is trust the power of God. I stopped by to tell somebody that the God that I serve, he says hi and he looked down low. I want to let you know this morning that there's a difference between a wife and a mother, because the mother going to look out for that child. The mother will go hungry before the child go hungry. I believe Hagar didn't get very much of that bread and she didn't drink much of that water, but the water still ran down. But I stopped by to tell somebody that if you need the power of a mighty God, all you got to do is cry out to the Lord. And I want to let you know that as this boy child began to leave home, I know that he was talking in his mind. I don't know why daddy treat me like he treat me. I don't know why he put us out. I don't know why he don't love me no more. I don't know why I'm out here in the wilderness. And I had a home there and I had a bed there. But here I am now laying out in the desert. But I thank my God this morning that I serve a mighty God. I serve a God that looks high and looks down low. I serve a God this morning that told me that everything gonna be all right. I serve a God this morning that gave me a loving mother, that fed me when I got hungry, that took care of me when I got sick, that was there when everybody else turned their backs on me. And the Lord God came and took her away a long time ago. But God, when he took her away, said, I'll be a mother for you and I'll be a father for you. So I didn't never miss a beat, because the God that I served, he knew the very day she was going to leave us. He knew the very day that she wouldn't be around no more. But I thank my God this morning that he is a God that can do anything. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. There's a big difference between a wife and a mother, because a mother will go all the way. For her child, she'll fight, she'll kill, she'll steal, she'll do whatever she got to do to make sure that her child get a food to eat. Make sure her child got clothes on their back. I know some mothers this morning that deny themselves every now and again. Don't worry about getting your hair done. Don't worry about getting your nails done. But I'm going to feed my baby, and I'm going to make sure they got what they got to have. I found out that I serve a God that treats you like a very special individual. I thank God for Abraham. Abraham being the father of faith. Do you have faith in the power of God that you can do what the Lord tells you to do? He loved Isaac. He loved Israel, and God allowed him to know that they're both going to be a blessing, because they are your seed. And I'm not one that go back on my promise. Abraham, I promise you many blessings. And those blessings that I promise you, when you die, it's going to go to your seed. And after that seed, their seed. And it's going to pass on down the line. That's why Abraham was a little disturbed, because he loved Ishmael. Sometimes you have to be careful what you ask for. You have to be careful what you allow to happen. Because if you're not ready for the big picture, you see, when you just look at the beginning of it and you don't know the full story, then you don't know exactly what you're going to do. One day, Sarah was one way, and then a few days later, her whole demeanor changed.